Previously in A Fond Kiss by Alice Dale, nurse Pamela Walters received a letter from Craig's mother informing her of her husband's death and asking her to decide when and how to pass on this difficult news to her traumatised patient. Pamela, interested in speech therapy, approached the senior surgeon for permission to treat Craig.
But Dr. Roberts had seen enough to ask, "If he's got no speech at all, how do you propose to treat him?" he asked languidly.
"But he has got speech. I've come to know him well since last year, and there's been a distinct improvement. He even tries to joke with me now, but is hopeless with strangers."
"I'm a bit like that myself."
"Not in the same way, sir. He seizes up completely and can't get out a word. He's still stammering, even with me. People who lose speech can get it back with treatment. I've been reading a lot, particularly Dr. John Wiley's Disorders of Speech. It'll be trial and error at first, but I'm sure he's well educated and that should help. He's always in the library reading and..."
She stopped abruptly. The surgeon's eyes were empty blanks. He had fallen asleep with his eyes open. Later, she decided his exhaustion had acted in her favour. Gently, she pulled the phial from his grasp, making profuse apologies, and he wakened just long enough to say, "Go ahead, nurse. As long as you're always available when I need you, you have my blessing. What have we to lose?"
"My thoughts exactly."
She turned at the door to give him a grateful smile, but his head was on the desk, and he was snoring gently. Where to start was the first problem facing Pamela. She was dying to get going on her new project, and she'd decided to make a start socially, informally, in her time off, if she was going to get anywhere with fighter pilot Stebbings. Luckily, one day when she was on her break, she saw Craig going towards the library hut, so she grabbed her book and followed him. When she entered, she sauntered casually in his direction. The seat opposite him was free.
"Hello, Craig. Do you mind if I join you?"
And without waiting for an answer, she sat down. She looked at the cover of his book.
"Wow. War and Peace. I've always meant to read that, but I thought it might be a bit heavy going."
Not really.
"Now, Gone with the Wind is huge and the present bestseller, but it doesn't tax the intellect much."
He nodded and returned to his book. After 15 minutes of silent reading, she said,
"I guess that's all I've time for. See you later."
"Goodbye." And he gave her one of his tight-lipped smiles and lifted a hand in farewell.
"Good. The first social meeting outside of nursing or letter reading or delivering ghastly news."
Next time she was attending to his tender skin, she said,
"Craig,"
keeping her head down while gently massaging the cream into his hands,
"I wonder if you could do me a big favour."
He hesitated, puzzled. "Favour?"
"You see, I've been studying speech therapy, but everything I've learned is from books. I've learned quite a lot, but I've no practical experience. And what I'm saying is, I need a guinea pig to practice on."
She tried a shrug and an apologetic smile. He knew exactly what was coming. He cocked his head to one side, gave a cheeky little smile and pointed to himself.
"That's right,"
she smiled back.
"Craig, I'm sure I could help you. Maybe not cure you, but help you a lot if you'll allow me to try. You would do me a big favour."
His eyes and raised eyebrows seemed to be saying, "That sounds too good to be true."
"No, honestly, it might help you, and it would help my studies enormously. Will you let me try, Craig?"
A moment's pause, then. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Craig. Together I know we can do it.
She decided to start him off with something familiar. Simply saying the alphabet seemed the easiest way to begin. Some of it was easy for him, but the plosives, B, K and P in particular, were too difficult, and he would stop, swear, and shake his head in frustration. Then, remembering how she had learned the alphabet in kindergarten,
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
To her delight, he joined in without a single stutter. When they got to Z, he burst out laughing with delight at his own achievement, and she joined in. She also realised he had a remarkable voice. She knew she had hit on something that worked, and more importantly, that he enjoyed. Obviously, he loved music and singing. One day, instead of his usual session in her small clinic, she took him to the recreation room for his therapy. To ensure privacy, she took him when other patients were having afternoon tea in the canteen next door. She sat down casually at the piano in the corner. This time, when he started the now familiar alphabet song, she skillfully accompanied him, occasionally changing the key or the timing, and finally jazzing it up. She noticed he always followed any change she made, however much she varied it. At the end of it, she turned round and clapped her hands enthusiastically, and she loved the triumphant smile that lit up his scarred face.
Do you know any songs?
She asked enthusiastically. Used to, he mumbled.
If you used to, you still do. There's nothing wrong with your memory, so don't give me that. Tell me one you know, and I bet I can follow you.
Silence.
Come on now, don't play hard to get with me. I need the challenge. I'm playing for the Christmas concert. I'm a bit rusty. I need the practice, honestly.
Convinced he was doing her another favour, he said, Do you know Bonnie Mary of Argyll?
Is that the one that begins, I have heard the mavis singing?
Immediately he joined in, and for a few bars it remained a duet. But as his confidence grew, she let her voice trail off while his gained momentum. Not one stutter while singing. His voice soared effortlessly to the last top note, holding it like a professional. There was a burst of applause from behind, coming from the tea drinkers who had abandoned the canteen to creep into the rec room, lured by the rare treat of live music. Bravo, bravo, and more, more, they shouted as they applauded. Craig, suddenly realising he had an audience and acutely embarrassed, threw Pamela a furious look and fled the scene, pushing his way through wounded and nurses alike, and slammed the door behind him. Sounds of communal disappointment followed him. Next day, he didn't turn up for his therapy session, and Pamela went looking for him. He was nowhere to be found in the hospital. Finally, she looked outside, and there he was in the garden, sitting on the bench under the willow tree, alone, staring into space.
Did you forget about your lessons?
She asked kindly. He turned his angry face to her. Don't you ever do that to me again, he fired at her.
Do what?
You know perfectly well, he said, clear as a bell.
Craig, if you're referring to all these patients coming into the rec room yesterday, I had nothing to do with that. Why would I?
Therapy, he said, with his mouth bitter and twisted. She sat down beside him and spoke quietly.
The singing, yes. And it worked well, didn't it? But I'd no idea anyone else was listening, let alone going to come in.
His face was set in anger, and her voice hardened a little.
And quite frankly, I don't see what you've got against giving others a bit of pleasure. They've all suffered too, you know. I don't think you realise how much, because you never mix with any of them. God gave you a wonderful voice, Craig. Not wanting to share it is downright selfish.
She rose abruptly and walked briskly up the grassy slope without looking back. He stared after her for several minutes, and when he turned back, his bright blue eyes were misted with tears. But not for that alone. I have sought thy heart, dear Mary, and its goodness was the while that has made